What a joy to be together again. And I am here to tell you indeed that God cares for you. And we heard it in the manifestations that God's love is without measure. So certainly he cares for us. We're going to start today in 1 Peter 5:7. I recently heard just a wonderful, inspiring teaching by Sean the other night. And I'm going to talk about a couple of the verses that he shared because I think it will really uplift and encourage your hearts to hear this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." A familiar verse, right? Well, one thing that Sean did the other night that was such a blessing was he shared this verse from a number of different translations. And it, you know, it just kind of brought things to maybe a greater light, a different light. And I have a couple of versions I'd like to share with you. First of all, the Majera version says, "And throw all your care on God, because he is concerned for you." So, you know, we simply don't just hand it over. You know, sometimes we hand things over to God like, okay, all right, I know you can take, you know, and then throw it on God, because he's there. He's ready to catch it. And he's concerned for us. There's another version called Woost. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. "Let all your anxieties fall upon him, for his great interest is in you." He's not busy looking elsewhere, concerned with other things. His great interest is you and me. And then the Amplified Version says, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all." Right? You do it once, that's it. "On him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." He doesn't have a divided interest. He is looking upon us with great care and great watchfulness. And that's why we can throw our cares on him with great abandon and just great, "Oh, here's another one I can get rid of so I can stay busy praising him for his goodness and his greatness." Another wonderful verse that you'll be familiar with, Philippians 4:6. You can probably say this one by heart. The King James reads, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And we know that that word careful is sometimes translated anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Not even one thing, not even one. Okay? Moffat says, "Never be anxious, but always make your requests known to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." So would it ever be a good idea to retain just one of your cares so that you could kind of try to figure it out, get it all organized and a little bit analyzed, and then give it to them? We're really good at that, you know, that rationalizing and reasoning. What about the Amplified Version? "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance," that's every single circumstance. Would you perhaps have a circumstance that might be a little bit different? "Every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition," definite request, "with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God." And then the Majera translation, "Do not be distressed about anything, but at all times, by prayer and by petition and with thanksgiving, your request should be made known before God." You know, on another topic, it's going to seem like another topic, but it's all going to fit in. Have you noticed that It's spring. I know it's a little bit overcast down here by the coast today, but have you taken notice of how fresh the air smells? And, you know, the flowers are blooming and there's life out there. The critters are running around. We have lots of rabbits in our neighborhood. It's just a beautiful, refreshing time of year. And I was recently taking a walk. I'm going to tell you about it in a second. But Mike and I agree. We like to take walks. He loves to go down to the coast and walk on the beach. I sometimes go over to Lake Murray. Some of you do that. You know, and there is a good reason to do that. You know, you want to keep your body going and get exercise. But also to have that time to be, you know, to be quiet. You just kind of, you know, put aside the computer, put aside the phone, put aside the work, put aside the whatever. And you just go out there and just, oh, you know, you have time to just share your heart with God, relax, get kind of energized, get the endorphins going. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's beautiful out there right now. And something happened yesterday that reminded me of this section in Matthew 6. You can turn there if you'd like. This section we've been talking about where it says to be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing out of Philippians 4:6. Well, in Matthew 6, there is a word there that actually means that same thing as not being anxious. And we're going to read it together. In Matthew 6, let's take a look at, well, let's start in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is referring to the things of the world. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's that same word, take no thought, be anxious for nothing. So, take no thought for your life. Don't have any anxiety, don't have any distress, don't fret about it, don't worry. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. Lots of birds flying around right now. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. You ever seen any birds out there plowing and, you know, out there with a tractor and gathering the crops and putting them in barns? No, they're just out there. Oh, you know how good that must feel to fly? I am going to share this little incident. Rachel, when she was much, much younger, she was a little teeny girl. We used to go down to this area of water, and we were standing there looking out one day, and she said, Mom, do you think if I pray really hard that God will let me fly? Haven't we all wanted to fly at some point? I used to dream about it. I actually took flight in one of my dreams. Anyway, so here you have the birds, the fowls of the air. They're not worried. They're not stressed. They're not concerned. It says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You know, the reason there's a question right there in that section is to get you to stop and wonder, ponder. Let's see. Are we not much better than they? Let me think about that. Am I better than a bird? I think so. You know, how much is a bird worth? Not a whole lot. Look in Luke 12. I want to show you something. In Luke 12, verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Okay, then of course the question is, what's a farthing? Different people say different things. From what I can tell, it's about a penny, maybe less. There's this one place that said 3/8 of a cent. Okay, so you have five sparrows, right? Sold for 2 farthings. Right, so if 1 farthing's about 1 cent, then you've got five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, right? So you get four sparrows for 2 farthings, or about 2 cents. And then you buy four, right? You get one free. Right, so you get five sparrows. Thank you. I did that in my head. So anyway, God cares for them. How much are they worth? Not that much. I mean, according to that, right? It's a small amount, yet not one of those birds is forgotten. Let's keep reading just a little bit. Verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So, if we're of more value than many sparrows, we can never, ever, ever be forgotten. God, the one who feeds the birds, is he going to starve his children? No. I have a couple of bird incidents I wanted to share with you. I was at Lake Murray yesterday, and I took quite a long walk, and I decided about halfway through I was going to sit down on one of the benches, and I sat down. I was looking at the lake and just getting peaceful and thinking about, gosh, what should I teach, you know? And I hear this sound off to my right, and I look over, and there is this goose, this big white goose. I mean, it was about that tall. Now, I've had a number of different goose encounters. I don't know if you have, but, I mean, they can be really aggressive, right? So I look over, and there's this goose. And then I look over a little further, and then there's another goose. So there's this big white goose, and then there's this Canadian goose, which is kind of a brown, black. So I'm looking, I'm going, oh, okay, how's this going to turn out, you know? And I have a water bottle in my hand. It's empty. But I just took it and I held it out as if to say, I have this water bottle and I know how to use it. So anyway, the goose just kind of looks at me, right? And just sort of is just looking at me, very calm. I'm not detecting any kind of anxiety or stress in this bird, no aggression whatsoever. So I'm going, oh, this is really cool. So now I'm starting to examine the bird. Beautiful white, just like a pristine, healthy, thriving goose, right? And so it just kind of walks around the front of me. I'm just sitting there, I'm watching this whole thing, and that this goose had these feet that were as big as my hand, and they were orange, bright orange. So I'm starting now to look at all the different details because I'm getting really blessed. So he walks around, and his friend walks around, and I'm thinking, gosh, it would really be nice to have something to give this bird. You know, maybe it's hungry. It doesn't seem distressed. So I opened my water bottle, which was just had a couple drops in the bottom, and I held it out like this and turned it. And the goose put its beak right up to the bottle, and there were just a couple drops in it, but it dropped on its beak, and I'm going, wow, this is really cool. Then he gets a little bit closer. So he's right next to me, and here comes his beak right toward my leg. And he just goes, just barely touches it. It was really neat. So I thought, wow, this is really, really unusual. So I eventually got up and I thought, wow, thank you, God. That was just really neat. I actually thought about that. Remember when we were talking a number of months ago about the millennium and the millennial kingdom, how all the animals, there's just going to be harmony and peace. There's not going to be conflict and violence among, you know, any of the animals. So I thought, wow, maybe here's a little glimpse of that kind of thing. So I get home, and then I have another bird incident. Rachel comes home. She comes inside. She goes, Mom, come downstairs. Come downstairs. And so I go downstairs, you know, I'm thinking, what is it? What is it? We go outside, and we turn back at our house. If you've been to our house, you know there's like this iron balcony up right outside of our bedroom. There's these two little doves sitting up there just kind of being sweet, you know, and I'm going, another bird incident. This is so cute. It was just sweet, you know, no anxiety. Then one more and then we'll get back to the word here, but it just shows how cool God is and how wonderful. Rachel and I are sitting out back. We're just sitting out there enjoying the sunshine, talking, and then all of a sudden we hear this, it's like a plop, 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 plop. We look up and there's this fence in our backyard and there's a blue jay he just hops on the fence and he just goes hop, 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 like just cute, happy. It was almost like a circus-like feeling, you know, and then he flies off. Okay, the point of all this, these birds are not worried. These birds, right, are unemployed, right? God cares for them. You know, is God going to take care of us in any category? Right? He says, be anxious or distressed or concerned or worried, fret about nothing. Not even one thing. Not even one circumstance. He cares for those birds. Oh my gosh. You know what? We are worth so much more than that. And, you know, concerning this section, you know, people being concerned, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Well, let's just be logical about it, right? God gave us our bodies, and he put life in them. Now, is he not going to help us nourish our bodies and protect them in every way? I mean, when we seek things with care and anxiety, it is because at that moment, at that point, we are not understanding or we are not remembering God's love and his care for us. I know last week Joey taught about Jesus Christ as our complete Savior. And if you think about the things that God provided for us in not sparing his only Son, right, and then he gave us all the fullness of what that is because of what Jesus Christ accomplished and what he did, we are completely, 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 completely complete with nothing lacking whatsoever. God gave us a gift. We didn't even do anything to get it. We just believed. We were willing to say, okay, you know, I believe that. He gave us a gift that has power. It's filled with power. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's nine manifestations. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's everything that we need to live and thrive and to help each other and others have life that God has made available. He doesn't withhold any good thing from us, ever. So we can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, always. So why worry? Why would we possibly ever think it's a good idea to worry? You know, we get distracted, we get tricked, we get deceived, we forget, whatever, pressure. But we do find ourselves in challenging situations, no doubt about it, where there is mental pressure and challenges and that kind of thing. Jobs, housing, health, you know, these are very real issues. And we go to God and we continue to go to him with trust, with care. And you know what? If we're worried, we go to him. Continue to go to him. He'll help. He'll help alleviate that and remind you of who you are and what you have. We seek God and not just the things so that we can praise him. If we turn the focus of our attention to praising him and thanking him for his goodness, for his giving us everything that we need at every time, for being our sufficiency in everything, see, we remember to give him our burdens. It's not like the situations necessarily will go away immediately. Sometimes we still have situations, but we don't have burdens if we give those to God. Isn't that just a much better way to live? You see, he has gone out on a limb and he has made promises to us in his word. Now, you know, this section in Matthew 6 that we were looking at, you know, let's go back there for a second. He is just so good and so faithful and so constant. It says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Right? Now, he's going to provide everything we need. You know, does that mean that he's going to necessarily provide caviar and Gucci bags? But could he? Yes. Why not? There's nothing wrong with those things. I mean, sometimes it's just fluff. But, you know, we don't need them to survive necessarily. But if they cause greed and pride and that type of thing, then there's a problem,
it's not good. But the thing is, if we value our possessions so much that it causes us to worry about them, then you need to stop and consider, okay, what's going on here? Because you will have a divided, distracted mind. You know, the things are important. I'm praising God, but my things, my stuff, I need this. Okay. If physical, material possessions bless you, that's great. But if they distract you or divide your attention away from God, it's not great. We need to ask ourselves, what are we seeking? Because we want to be seeking the face of God and the heart of God and the truth of God and not just the stuff, right? God knows what we need. He loves us. We already know that. He loves us beyond measure. He's always looking at us. And he's always ready and able to help. He has the means, doesn't he? He's got the desire, obviously. He's proven that. He's committed to it. He's put it in writing, right? He has put it in writing for us. So we ease our burdens of care by casting them upon God. And we need to do that on a continual basis. God will strengthen our hearts and he will strengthen our minds. But you know, sometimes, you know, we make much ado about nothing at all. We get all concerned and all anxious and all frustrated. And, you know, if he's taking care of our needs, why should we do that? And, you know, here's another thing. When we give it over to God and we throw it on God and we give it, get rid of it, do we need to delegate things to him? Do we need to then go back and manage the process? Do we have to oversee it? Or do we need to direct God or supervise him? But we act like that sometimes, don't we? I love that there's a song that Rachel does, and there's this line in it that says, he created the earth and the heavenlies. Don't you think he can get you what you need? Believe. All right, let's look at verse 27 here in Matthew 6. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Here's another thing about springtime. These flowers out there right now, some of them are just breathtakingly beautiful. They are fragrant. Here, Jenny really blessed me earlier. I was back there talking to her. She said, would you like a rose? And she gave me this rose. And then we talked a little bit about how great God is. I mean, if you look at the detail and the color of this rose, and if you feel it, it's like velvet. You're welcome to do this later, but if you put your nose in a rose, it's not only beautiful to look at, and it smells great, but it's soft. It's really soft on your nose. So God, you know, he's just so wonderfully prepared things to bless us. And the thing about flowers, though, you know, in about a week, this thing isn't going to look so good. And I really am going to put it in water. But, you know, the flowers of the field are here one day, gone the next. You know, and yet God provided this amazing growth process to bless us. Don't you think he's going to take care of us? Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what does that mean to us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, we were thinking recently, talking among some of us about our daily decision. And what do you do when you first wake up? Well, you know, you can go a number of different ways with that, really. But why not just first thing, let your first waking thought be, good morning, God. You know, it's another great day. And you begin to seek the face of God. And you begin to engage in that relationship with him. You seek it. You desire it. You build that desire so it's not like, oh, let's see, what was I supposed to do first thing? Oh, right, that's right. Hi, God. You know, but you it grows and develops in your heart. And you pursue it. You give diligence to it. We should seek the things of God and the things of Christ more than the other things. Because he's going to add those things to us. And you know what? If you have thoughts that are divided, right, where they're competing thoughts, you know, things of God, things of the world, things of God, right? Well, you can establish a preference there. You can take those thoughts, like take them by the hand and lead them to the truth. We seek godliness, and everything else will be added to us. And this is what happened to Solomon. Remember, let's take a quick look at that in 2 Chronicles. Because, you know, he was given an opportunity to request of God whatever he wanted. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, it says in verse 1, and Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. And the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Who magnified him? Yeah, God did. We look to God to take care of us. It says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, right? And he will exalt us. We don't have to do that. In verse 6, it says, Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. He was really into it. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. So you see what he was seeking at that time, right? Verse 7, and that night did God appear unto Solomon. Well, that makes sense. You know, there was a response. And there is a response when we seek the face of God. What can I do for you today? Don't be anxious. I care for you. I love you. What do you need? So in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast shown great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. There's a situation. There is a circumstance. Here's his request in verse 10. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this people that is so great? He could have asked for anything, and that's what he asked for. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge thy people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. Oh yeah, you can have that. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. You see what he did? And how much more will he do for us? Back in Matthew 6, you know, it was talking about take no thought for the morrow. I mean, obviously we have to do some planning. That's not what it's talking about. You know, you have to decide, well, am I going to get up and go to work tomorrow? Am I going to prepare a meal for my family? You know, that's not what it's talking about. By not taking thought for the morrow, it's not taking anxious thought. Sometimes we're faced with some pretty challenging situations that feel maybe beyond our ability to cope with them. That's where we turn our heart to God and trust Him. In every category, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, we look to Him. So, don't worry about tomorrow. You know what? We accumulate burdens, you know, like hoarders. Have you ever seen those programs about hoarders? Where they accumulate all this stuff and it piles up. And no, I'm not talking about you guys. You're unpacking, okay? All this stuff piles up and to the point that you can't even get around. I mean, you're either climbing over it or you're buried under it. Okay. We don't want those kind of burdens mentally or in any other way. But if we're going to anticipate trouble, like, okay, well, now I am not only worried today, but now it's getting to be almost tomorrow that's approaching. So I'm going to start taking some time right now to start worrying about the things of tomorrow. So then I've got today covered and tomorrow covered. So that way, if you anticipate them, see, you can double your troubles, right? But isn't that kind of redundant? Because, you know, why worry about it today when you can just wait until tomorrow to worry about it? You know, it's silly, isn't it? When tomorrow comes, will you be lighter if you do that? No. So don't be your own tormentor, okay? Don't be a hoarder of burdens. What do? Pray. Just pray and enjoy your fellowship with God. It's not difficult, but that's really where the planning comes in, I think. Before you get into these situations where you are all of a sudden, you know, the roof caves in on you, okay? And then you're, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And you go into panic mode and you cultivate these thoughts of trusting God where your first response when you have a need is go to Him in prayer. That's the kind of life He's talking about here. You know, if the birds can be flying around stress-free, I think we can enjoy life and be peaceful. He's given us Holy Spirit. Isn't peace one of the fruits of the Spirit? Didn't Jesus Christ say, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, those are the words, those are the promises, that's the commitment God made when He gave us His word. And That's the kind of life God's called us to. And that's the kind of life that we can remind each other to live. You know, let's not let each other be stressed out or anxious. I mean, let's be the first one there. You know, if say I notice in you, like, what is it? If I notice a little bit of furrowing of the brow, right? You know, in order to do that, I have to have an interest in you and be looking at you. And if I notice that, or maybe it's not even physical, but maybe God will show me there's anxiety there. So if I'm looking and my heart is open and I'm willing and I know who I am and I know what I've got, I will certainly approach you and see if there's anything I can do, or I will pray. We do that for each other. God placed us in a body for that reason. We need one another. I want to close in Ecclesiastes. There's a great section here. And you can certainly go back and read about what happened with Solomon at another point in his life. You know, when he prayed that section that we just read in 2 Chronicles, he was young. He was, from what I can understand, a youth. He said, I am but a child, but, you know, he was a youth. And he was young, and he started out seeking God. Well, At this point, if you read through Ecclesiastes, you can see one of the things that he did was he decided to seek in his heart to find out, you know, what can I do? What can I acquire? You know, I'm going to analyze this. And he did a lot of really interesting things. He built houses. He built vineyards. He had gardens and orchards. He planted all kinds of fruit trees. He had pools of water. He had servants. He had servants who had servant children. He had possessions of cattle. He had silver. He had gold. He had the treasure of kings. He had everything. He had singers. So he was great, it says, and he increased more and more. And I think you know how this ended out. He didn't withhold anything. He had more than his eyes could desire. He had it all. And then he looked on it. If you're in Ecclesiastes 2, it says in verse 11, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do." Okay. Whose hands? His hands. Whose labor? His labor. It sounds like that was a lot of work. "And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." We don't want to live like that. He, for whatever reason, went through this whole process, and at the very end, let's look at Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, verse 13. He came to a great conclusion. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Life without God, and there's a lot of people out there without God, sometimes we're not looking at God. But without him, it's meaningless. There's despair, there's emptiness, there's worthlessness. But we fear God and keep his commandments. We stand in awe and utter amazement of God. We keep our eyes on God and seek his face. Seek him and praise him. He is going to give us everything we need, and it's not going to be by the labor of our own hands. We seek him. His mercies are new every morning. His grace abounds. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? Everything. He will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's the standard. And what is the power that works in us? Christ in us. It's Christ in us. It's complete. It's everything that we need. It is the hope of glory. So, you know, I encourage you to enjoy this wonderful time of year, this springtime. And maybe be like this great, sweet friend of mine from years ago. I was with her at times, and we'd be outside, and she'd be going, "God cares for me. God cares for me." And I'd be going, "I know, yeah, okay. What are you doing?" She'd say, "Well, every time I see a bird fly by, that's what it reminds me of. God cares for me." Right? So let's just remember that. Always, every time of year, that God's love is super abounding. It's immeasurable. And God cares for us. Amen? Amen. All right.